Welcome to The Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Tom McGarry, standing in for Warren Ashurst this week. And alongside me to run you through the best bets from the Premier League and EFL are Aaron Ashley and Jack Ogilby. It's been another busy midweek, hasn't it, on the European front. We have the second legs of the Champions League knockout phase playoffs taking place. Manchester City rather meekly exiting the competition in the Bernabeu against Real Madrid, and Celtic having their hearts broken in Munich by Bayern. There was also a rogue Premier League game on Wednesday night, a big one as well, at the top of the table. Leaders Liverpool, they were held to a 2-2 draw away at Aston Villa. And Liverpool formed our focus, really, for this week's big match. It didn't take too long to select the big match for this weekend in the Premier League. It's their trip to the Etihad Stadium to take on Manchester City. City, after their defeat to Real, they're 9-5 to win this one. The draw is 11-4. A Liverpool victory available at 13-10. Traditionally, over recent seasons, this has been a bit of a title tussle between these two sides. Still the case for Liverpool, but City off the pace, of course, at the top of the Premier League standings. Aaron, we'll come to you first. I suppose the big question coming into this one is, can City throw a spanner into the works of Liverpool's title bid?
They certainly can. Of course they can. I mean, the quality still remains. I think it's just a lack of confidence at the moment for City. I mean, they're losing games they're not used to losing, and they're throwing away leads in games that is the most alarming aspect of it. The issue we have here is obviously Liverpool, they're on a tremendous run. They've not lost away from home this season in the Premier League. And City's defensive deficiencies are surely at some point going to be exposed by Liverpool's array of attacking talent. That would be the main concern there.
Yeah, and Jack, Liverpool, as Aaron alluded to, are fabulous away from home at the moment, but they've not won at the Etihad in the Premier League since 2015, 10 years now. This is probably the best chance during that period they've had to break that run and pick up what would be a hugely important 3 points.
I think so. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird vibe around Liverpool at the moment, isn't it? There are nerves about them, despite them being 8 points clear at the top of the league. It could be reduced, of course, by the time they kick off on Sunday. I think it's going to be an interesting tactical battle between the two managers. That opening goal for Real Madrid against Manchester City laid bare quite a lot of flaws, I thought, the citizens have at their back. And I do wonder if Arne Slot might spring a bit of a tactical surprise and play his striker, whoever it is, a bit deeper, because that will then draw the central defenders out and allow the likes of Mo Salah, whoever plays on the left-hand side, space to run in behind, similar to that first goal which Mbappe scored.
Yeah, Mbappe scoring that hat-trick in midweek. I suppose City supporters will be fearing that Mo Salah, in such fabulous form, could do something similar. Aaron, you know, Liverpool 8 points clear at the top of the standings after that draw in midweek. As Jack alluded to, that their performances have dropped off slightly of late. They've had that draw with Villa, drew with Everton in the final Merseyside derby at Goodison Park, and they also weren't great squeaking past Wolves last weekend. So there could be nerves on show from both sides in this one.
Definitely. As you say, Liverpool's performances have definitely dropped in the last few weeks. I thought Everton more than deserved a point, despite the fact that the goal came in injury time. Even the 2-1 win over Wolves. Wolves went there and won the shot count, which seems quite baffling, to be honest. And then even in the midweek draw, the 2-2 at Aston Villa, Aston Villa had a late goal disallowed. I know Arne Slot feels that his team did enough to win that game, but at the same time, they were kind of lucky they didn't concede late on as well. Then the Nunes miss, obviously, is a bit of a sitter there. But at the same time, their levels have definitely dropped. And you can definitely see a few nerves around the stadium as they bid to get a second league title on the board.
Yeah, I suppose it's only natural at this stage of the season that nerves will start to kick in. But Jack, how do you see this one playing out then in terms of your pick, your best bet for the game? Do you think Liverpool will be able to control those nerves, or do you see City raising their game? I mean, they were poor against Real, weren't they, in the week? But it was just a few days before that they were thrashing Newcastle on home soil.
Oh, I think it's going to be such an interesting game. It'll start caging, and I think it's going to really open up. City, they just can't play any other way at the moment. They just can't control the game. I know Nico Gonzalez is making a difference in midfield, but there's a lot to hang on him, and there's a few players on Wednesday night. I thought it was almost the Gary Neville moment of it's time to go now, where maybe it's the end of their time at the top level. And I think Liverpool is going to expose how open City are. I'm not going to overcomplicate things. I think it's the Reds to win a statement victory in their title push.
So Jack's going for a Liverpool win. Aaron, what are you looking at?
I'm going to go for both teams to score and draw here, Tom. It feels weird to be seeing Liverpool obviously going off favourites at the Etihad. I think you'd have got quite a big price on that at the start of the season if someone would have said that. But it's hard to dispute, really, isn't it? I mean, they obviously go there unbeaten, but they have drawn 5 of their 14 away games this season. Both had tough midweek assignments. And as I said, Liverpool's level has definitely dropped in recent weeks. Given Arsenal's attacking ailments and the lead they currently have at the top, you'd say a point probably is a decent return for Arne Slot's side, and it probably would edge them closer to the title. We know City, they've been way below par this season, but I think that, like I said, that's more of a confidence issue from them rather than a lack of quality. We know the players they've still got. They can definitely hurt Liverpool. The Reds have been held to 2-2 draws at Everton and Villa in their last 2 away games. They also drew 2-2 at Arsenal earlier in the season, which was also the outcome when City entertained the Gunners. So I'm going to go for both teams to score and draw. They drew both meetings last season 1-1, and I could see a similar narrative here. And I don't think Liverpool will be going for broke if they're level with about 20 minutes to go, you know, because I think it'd still be a decent result.
Yeah, I think whatever happens, whatever the result is, there's going to be plenty of drama and talking points to come from that game. 4:30 kickoff on Sunday at the Etihad Stadium. We'll move on to the rest of the Premier League action this weekend. And for the second week in a row, there's a Friday night game in the top flight. It's at the King Power Stadium, 8 p.m. start for this one. Relegation threatened Leicester playing host to Brentford. The Foxes are 5-2 to win this game, which is the same price as the draw. A Brentford away victory is 21-20. Jack, we'll start with you. Leicester really struggling for form, aren't they? But they come into this game 19th in the standings, just 2 points adrift of safety. So temporarily, at least, if they were to win this game, they would move out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, and we make a lot, I think, and rightly so, of the psychological benefit of not being in the bottom three when you look at the league table. But I just can't see them beating Brentford, who've struggled on the road at the start of the season. But it's no surprise now they're playing the teams that they beat at home towards the start of the campaign that are now starting to win on the road. They were excellent at West Ham last time out. The front three of Charlotte, Wissa and Ogbumo, they're so good. They're interchange positions, a lot of pace, a lot of skill. And against the Leicester defence that really struggles, you can't see the Foxes keeping a clean sheet. They've lost 9 of the last 10 in the league. There was a protest last week against Arsenal, wasn't there, from the fans. I'm not sure it's going to be too conducive an atmosphere to boost the home side. We've lost the last 5 at home. Brentford are going well. Again, I'm not going to complicate it. I think it's going to be a Brentford win.
Yeah, it's got a little bit ugly, hasn't it? Pretty much all season at the King Power. The supporters weren't particularly enamoured by the appointment of Steve Cooper in the summer, former Nottingham Forest boss, of course. And then things haven't really picked up how they would like under Ruud van Nistelrooy, Aaron. And yeah, it's a difficult one. Leicester in such bad form, as Jack alluded to it, and Brentford seem to be improving, at least in terms of their away record.
That's it, Tom. But I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals in this one. I think Leicester were far from disgraced in last weekend's 2-0 defeat at home to Arsenal. They did a lot right until the final third, where they looked completely toothless. They didn't really look like scoring. They only had 6 shots and only 2 of those were on target. But Ruud van Nistelrooy's men, they did stand firm for 81 minutes in that contest. I know Arsenal didn't have a forward option, but I think the best way they're going to pick up points is just by staying in games, because I'm not sure, other than Jamie Vardy, there looks like too many scoring threats on the pitch for those. But that was a 5th straight home league game in which they failed to score. And I'm expecting another cagey contest against Brentford, who are obviously seeking a 4th straight win on the road, having been so poor on their travels earlier in the season. The Bees have kept 3 clean sheets in 4 away games at Brighton, Southampton and West Ham. And 5 of the last 9 league games have gone under 2.5 goals. And I think Leicester, if they are to pick up a result in this, they've got to keep this tight and they've got to play for a chance on the counter-attack, because they don't look like they have too many viable scoring options. So under 2.5 goals for me.
Yeah, potentially a cagey contest to start off the Premier League weekend. Saturday's early kickoff, a 12:30 start at Goodison. It's Everton rejuvenated under David Moyes, playing host to a Manchester United team that are really anything but rejuvenated at the moment. Everton 6-4 to win the game. The draw 11-5. Manchester United victory 19-10. Aaron, did anyone see this coming when David Moyes replaced Sean Dyche? It's similar, at least at first glance, managers on paper, but Moyes has been able to get a real tune out of the team.
He has, yeah. Like you said, you'd expect it to be a similar defensive approach under Moyes as it was Dyche, but it's been completely different. And there looks a lot more energy there. And I think his feel around the club, you know, he knows what Everton are about. I think that's really helped them as well. And I think everything just looks in place for David Moyes to get one over his former employers here, Manchester United. The Toffees have picked up 13 points from the last 15 on offer. And they've drew only to Liverpool, fierce rivals Liverpool, 2-2 in that period. And Manchester United just continue to look a club in real turmoil, don't they? They've lost 6 of the last 9 league matches. And the squad is starting to look even more stretched now because you've got Kobbie Mainoo, who's joined Martinez and Amad Diallo on the sidelines. And Manuel Ugarte is another major doubt for this one. So they just look really, really short on numbers. When you've got like Antony and Marcus Rashford leaving the club and really raising their level, that's just unwelcome attention for the United boss Amorim. And it's seriously difficult to see how they can arrest the slump they're in. And I expect Everton at 6-4. I think that's a really good price, actually.
Yeah, so Aaron expects Everton to win this, Jack. And he mentioned there Manchester United's lack of squad depth for one reason or another. I think Victor Lindelof was the only player of any Premier League experience on the bench for that defeat at Tottenham last weekend. Are you of a similar mind? Do you think this is Everton's game for the taking?
I am absolutely of a similar mind. They've lost the last 5 against Manchester United, but this is a fantastic chance to end that run. Aaron's on the work for me. They're in fantastic form. And Ruben Amorim, he actually reminds me of a former Everton boss in Marco Silva towards the end of his reign when he was always hiding in the dugout at times. He can't watch, can he, the Portuguese boss at the moment? I'll try to be more poetic, but they're an absolute mess at the Red Devils. No one quite knows what's happening on and off the field. You said, did we think that David Moyes would oversee such an improvement when he took over Everton? He did something similar at West Ham, but I thought it was also inevitable. Man United should have stuck with David Moyes because what's happened going through managers over and over again is exactly what happens to all clubs. Once a stalwart like Sir Alex Ferguson leaves, you've got a totally mismatched squad put together by different managers. Half of them are injured, half of them on loan. It's just a total mess. I'm going for Everton to win. Again, there's no point complicating things. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for Moyes' men.
Yeah, he might have a little smile if Everton do win that game to himself on Saturday evening, David Moyes against his former club. There's 5 games at 3:00 in the Premier League on Saturday as well. We'll begin with the match at the Vitality. This, to me, still sounds really strange to say, but Champions League chasing Bournemouth. They're the home team up against the Wolves side, fighting to keep their heads above water at the other end of the table. Bournemouth, heavy favourites at 8-13 to win the match. The draw, 16-5. Wolves as big as 4-1. Aaron, Bournemouth, 1 defeat in 15 across all competitions. And only Iraola, arguably the manager of the season so far. Can you see Wolves doing something to disrupt what Bournemouth are building?
It's really difficult to see, but I really don't think Wolves are anywhere near as bad as the league table implies. I mean, this obviously looks a daunting trip for them on the back of 5 defeats in 6 against the Bournemouth side, as you say, and now dreaming of a top 4 finish. But at the same time, Wolves, they played with serious credit at Anfield the other day in that 2-1 defeat. And while you have players like Matias Cunha on the pitch, you can always cause problems for anyone. And they won the shot count at Anfield. And I could see this turned into a bit of a shootout. And I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals at 6-4. The Cherries, as you say, their only defeat in the last 13 league games. That came at the hands of Liverpool. And they've won 4-1 away at Newcastle. And they've routed Nottingham Forest 5-0 at home in that spell. They won 4-2 away at Molineux earlier in the season. And 5 of the last 7 games have gone over 3.5 goals. And I can see Wolves scoring here, but I'm expecting a shootout. So I'm going over 3.5 goals at 6-4.
Yeah, Jack, Aaron mentioned Matias Cunha, who arguably the best player out of those bottom 4 clubs in the Premier League. Maybe Liam Delap at Ipswich might have something to say about that. But do you think Wolves will have enough about them collectively to get the better of Bournemouth?
Well, Cunha gives you a chance, doesn't he? And I think we mentioned he's probably the best player outside the top clutch of clubs. I think Antoine Semenyo is pushing him for that, actually. He's improved so much this season. And I'm going to agree with Aaron. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. I'm not as optimistic as him. I'm going Cherries to win and over 2.5 goals. It was a brilliant game at Molineux, that Justin Kluivert hat-trick of penalties, the 4-2 victory. I think more of the same. Iraola's side, they're so exciting to watch. I don't think Wolves are as bad as the table suggests. I think they're going to probably stay up with quite a lot to spare. It's a good chance to see maybe a battle, it's probably unfair to say, to be Liverpool's fourth choice forward next season between Semenyo and Cunha. Both are good odds to score. They both could do it. I think the Cherries are going to have the edge in an entertaining game.
Yeah, it could be very entertaining. Attacking prowess at both ends of the field, which takes us on to one of the other 3 o'clock kickoffs at the Emirates Stadium, a London derby between Arsenal and West Ham. Arsenal 27-100 to win this one. The draw's 5-1. West Ham 9-1 outsiders. And Aaron, speaking about attacking firepower as we were, Mikel Merino was the auxiliary centre forward, the hero for Arsenal against Leicester last week. He was channeling his inner Paul Warhurst, which I know the guy spoke about on last week's pod. And is Merino the man to deliver and help Arsenal get another victory in this one?
It's a difficult one to answer because there was obviously a clear lack of focal point last week at Leicester. Having no Kai Havertz, no Gabriel Jesus, it was evident that Leandro Trossard, he struggled a little bit in that role. He kept finding himself drifting into wide areas. And as a result, Arsenal became a little bit one-dimensional. And obviously it did come from a cross in the end, the breakthrough goal. But they still got the job done. And I expect a similar outcome against West Ham here. So I'm going to have Arsenal to win and under 3.5 goals. The 2-0 victory at the King Power did take Arsenal's unbeaten run in the league to 15. And defensive discipline remains their strong point. They've kept 4 clean sheets in 7 games. And 6 of their last 10 wins have featured 3 or fewer goals. It's hard to see how West Ham can break them down at the Emirates. But at the same time, they can stand resolute and you expect Arsenal to be frustrated. The amount of attacking players they're missing, obviously no Havertz, no Jesus, Martinelli's still a little bit away, I believe, and Saka, of course, as well, the star man. West Ham's 1-0 loss at Brentford last weekend was a third loss in 4 for those. And each of those matches went under 2.5 goals. So I'm expecting Arsenal to find a way in what probably is going to be a fiercely contested London derby.
Yeah, you have a similar mindset, Jack. West Ham, they haven't really had that new manager bounce that they were looking for under Graham Potter.
No, they haven't, but you look for positives from both sides when you're picking out your tips. And Graham Potter's having a quite strangely good record at the Emirates. He's won 3 of his 4 visits as a coach there. The 5-2 win for Arsenal at London Stadium earlier in the season seems a long time ago, as does West Ham's 2-0 win in this fixture a couple of Christmases ago as well. But then Arsenal won 6-0 at the London Stadium later last season. I don't think it's going to be as exciting, I have to say. I think it's going to be Arsenal under 2.5 goals. It's 9-4 that stood out to me. The Gunners have won 37 Premier League matches against West Ham. Only Everton have lost to them more in the Premier League. And it's such a strange vibe around them. I know they've got injuries and they dropped off in the title race, but they are unbeaten in 15 in the league, which is pretty good going. They're not as good as they are, or as good as they were, I think, which is a strange thing to say considering the record. But granting that result is a good thing to do, isn't it? Mikel Merino, he's had a strange spell. I thought he was going to be the perfect man for that inverted midfielder come left-back role, actually, when they signed him. I thought that was going to be position, but brilliant in the air. He's got a great goal for Spain at the Euros against Germany, a great header. Will he start up front? I'm not quite sure, but he's always a threat. And I think it's going to be a grinding victory for Arsenal.
Yeah, may not be a classic, but should help Arsenal and get 3 points, which would put the pressure on Liverpool ahead of Sunday's big game. Another of the 3 p.m. kickoffs, another London derby as well. Fulham against Crystal Palace. Fulham 21-20 to win this game. The draw 12-5 and a Palace victory 27-10. Fulham 3 wins in 4 in the Premier League. Palace 4 wins in a row away from home across all competitions. Jack, we'll start with you. These are two interesting sides.
They are very interesting sides and seem to be putting runs together. Palace lost to Everton last time out, but they have generally struggled at home and they're a team that really set up nicely to produce on the road. You mentioned the recent run, but you can extend that out to 1 defeat in their last 11 in all competitions in away games. They're not conceding their last 5 away matches, winning their 4 most recent of those, all by a 2-0 scoreline. Yeah, Fulham beat Forest last time out. They're looking to do the first double over the Eagles since 2001 season, which is a long time ago. They were unbeaten in 7 London derbies at home as well, but yeah, Palace, there's just something about them at the moment. The price is fantastic. I fancy Oliver Glasner's side to get the edge over their London rivals, especially with Jean-Philippe Mateta in such good form.
Yeah, Aaron Jack-like says Jean-Philippe Mateta at the moment for Fulham. Adama Traore was fabulous against Nottingham Forest last weekend. One of my favourite players in the Premier League to watch when he's on song. And how do you see this game panning out?
This is a really tricky game to call here. I'm going to go for both teams to score at 3-4. Back-to-back 2-1 wins over Newcastle and Forest have renewed Fulham's hope in their bid for European qualification. But Palace, they're unbeaten in 8 away league games and they're proving really tough to beat on the road at the moment. They're set up to frustrate and do you on the counter-attack. The Cottagers don't really deal in clean sheets. There are only 2 shutouts in 14 league games since that 2-0 win at Selhurst Park in November, come against Southampton and Leicester, but their attacking talent really does speak for itself and they're quite strong at home, you know. Both teams have scored in 11 of Fulham's last 13 home league games this season and I expect this one to follow suit because Palace will be suited to playing on the counter-attack and you expect them to get chances too.
Yeah, it could be a decent game then at Craven Cottage. Two more 3 p.m. kickoffs in the Premier League. We'll begin with Ipswich against Tottenham from Portman Road. Ipswich, who of course beat Spurs earlier in the season in North London. They're 14-5 to complete the double over Ange Postecoglou's team. The draw 13-5, a Spurs victory 19-20. Ipswich were spirited to earn a point against Villa last time out. Spurs, as we alluded to earlier on, beat Manchester United, getting one or two players back to fitness as well. Aaron, do you see Ange Postecoglou's side starting to build a bit more momentum?
Of course, there's improvements. I mean, they've had so many injuries this season that it's kind of can be expected. And these players coming back are only going to help, aren't they? But it'd be very like Spurs to slip up at Ipswich following wins to nil over Brentford and Manchester United. And it really wouldn't surprise me. So I'm going to go for both teams to score an over 2.5 goals at 4-5. Ipswich won 2-1 at Tottenham in November. And they also have a home win over Chelsea to their name this season. They did score in defeat at, against Liverpool at Anfield as well. The Tractor Boys, they snapped a 4-game losing streak with that 1-1 draw at Villa last weekend. And they'll be suited to playing on the counter-attack against this high Tottenham line. And obviously, they're still missing first-choice centre-backs, Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero. So I fancy Ipswich to score. Tottenham, they've kept back-to-back clean sheets, but I can't see that trend going on the way they play. So I'm going to go both teams scoring over 2.5 goals.
Yeah, Spurs and clean sheets don't necessarily go hand in hand. Jack, do you fancy Spurs to come away from Portman Road with all 3 points?
I do. I know the odds on, but it's close enough to evens to interest me. We mentioned Andoni Iraola. I think Kieran McKenna's also been talked up as a potential replacement for Ange Postecoglou. And in a funny way, a swashbuckling defeat might do his chances of getting that job some good. Spurs look to be coming a bit better, inevitably so. They're getting players back, aren't they? But Ipswich, everything around them is a bit negative at the moment. They've got Delap, who's in fine form. And yes, they drew at Aston Villa and they won the reverse fixture, but they won only once at home all season. That aforementioned game against Chelsea. And they scored just 9 times at Portman Road, which is a real worry, isn't it? Goals keep you up often, don't they? They're the only team also in the Premier League not to have won in 2025. In the middle of February, that is a big, big problem. And I think Spurs, it might not be a smooth performance, but I think they'll have more than enough in Suffolk.
Yeah, it could be a good day then for Spurs. The final 3 p.m. kickoff, a South Coast derby, a Southampton against Brighton. The Saints rock bottom of the standings, 9-2 to win this one. The draw, 3-1. And Brighton fresh from those back-to-back victories in League and Cup against Chelsea there, 3-5. Jack, do you think Brighton, after that 7-0 defeat in their last away game against Nottingham Forest, do you think they've now suitably recovered?
Yeah, it feels like that was a bit of a shot in the arm for Brighton, really. They just seem to be getting back to the type of form we saw at the start of the season. Admittedly, playing Chelsea at home is the ticket everybody wants at the moment. Might hear a bit more about that later. They're unbeaten in each of the 6 games at St Mary's as well. And yeah, Saints have lost 7 at home the last 7 games, including 3-1 against Bournemouth recently. It's something similar feels inevitable to me. I think it's Brighton win, both teams to score. If you're looking for something else as well, maybe Ankuma Minter is worth looking at to score or assist. His brace against Chelsea means he's 3 goals and assists in his last 4 games. But Fabian Hertzler may not even select him in the matchday squad, the way he rotates his squad at times.
Yeah, Aaron, Jack fancies Brighton, and it is very difficult to make a case for anything other than an away victory.
Yeah, I'm going for Brighton to win and over 2.5 goals. I mean, Southampton, I think they have showed improved signs under manager Ivan Juric, but they've still lost 20 of their 25 league games this season. That's 7 in a row at home, and it's just a little bit too little too late. I mean, I hope they stay with him next season, because I do think they have been playing some much better football in recent weeks. Brighton, though, they've responded well to that 7-0 capitulation at Forest. They've won both in league and cup against Chelsea, and I expect them to have too much quality for the Saints. But that said, both teams have scored in 6 of Southampton's last 7 league matches. So I'm expecting maybe a high scoring victory for the Seagulls, who have only 1 clean sheet in 9 away league games.
We'll whisper it quietly for Southampton supporters, but they are still just 2 points short of Derby's all-time Premier League low points tally. But yeah, we'll keep that one brief. Aston Villa against Chelsea is the 5:30 game in the Premier League on Saturday. Villa, after that draw with Liverpool on Wednesday night, they're 17-10 for the victory. The draw 12-5. Chelsea 31-20. I suppose, Aaron, coming into this game, these two sides neither are in particularly good form in terms of getting victories.
No, that is correct, Tom. But had it not been for midweek's 2-2 draw with Liverpool, I'd be really sweet on Villa. But at the same time, I'm still happy to take them on the draw no bet at 10-11. I mean, January's reinforcements should allow Emery to shake things up if he wishes. And this looks a great time to be facing Chelsea after their latest 3-0 defeat at Brighton. I mean, Enzo Maresca's side, they've now failed to win in any of their last 6 away games in all competitions. They've lost 5 of those matches. And they really look to be lacking fluidity to me. I mean, with Nicholas Jackson injured, they can look devoid of ideas. And Madueke limped off early at the Amex in that defeat to Brighton. And that puts a lot of pressure on Cole Palmer's shoulders, who you can see he's starting to get a little bit frustrated with his teammates. He's shooting a lot from distance, like even more so than usual. I think he had 7 shots against West Ham. And he just shows there's a lot of pressure on him to deliver at the moment with the way Chelsea are performing. Villa, they're unbeaten in 13 home league games. And I think they look by far the most likely winners in this contest. So I'll take them on the draw no bet.
Yeah, Villa really good on a home soil. Chelsea, no win since early December in the Premier League on their travels. Jack, are you seeing it as a home win as well?
Yeah, I'm all over Villa to win this. As we mentioned, Chelsea, they're dreadful on the road. They failed to win their last 6. They have a good record at Villa Park. Villa have only won 2 of the last 11 meetings, but I just can't trust Chelsea at the moment. We thought they might be potential Premier League title challengers, but managers keep bemoaning a lack of time on the training ground with their players, but it seems to be working the opposite direction for the likes of Amorim and Enzo Maresca, who's edging close to potential job casualty in the summer. His team are starting to look a bit like Leicester last term, where they started quite free-flowing in the summer, and then as the season's gone on, got a bit stodging. Yeah, they just don't seem to have any flow. They don't have a recognised striker. I thought Villa were really entertaining against Liverpool. Not exactly great goals. Yuri Tielemans was fantastic to watch with the 4 headers before it and then a fantastic finish. But both Liverpool's goals were also, I thought, all avoidable. But they are good at home. They score a lot of goals. They're unbeaten at home as well in all comps since October. Some big Champions League wins in that time as well. I expect them to have too much for a Chelsea side, lacking confidence, lacking fluidity, and lacking direction.
Just the 2 games then in the Premier League on Sunday. We've already spoken about the one at the Etihad, the early kickoff at 2 p.m. Big one in their race for the top 4 or top 5, as it may end up proving. Newcastle against Nottingham Forest. Newcastle 4-5 to pick up all 3 points on home soil. A draw 14-5. A Forest away win 16-5. Forest 6 points above Newcastle in the standings heading into the weekend, with a whole raft of teams in between. Aaron, it's a huge, huge game. But you think home advantage might be key for Newcastle?
I do. I think this is the time to catch Newcastle. A massive home game, packed out St. James's Park. All the supporters beard up and up for it. I can just see them getting the job done here. I think the Magpies, the 2 of their best performances at home were in wins against Arsenal and Aston Villa. They've also held Liverpool and Man City to score draws at home. And it seems to be in these big games, that's when they really turn up, you know, especially on home soil. They'll see Forest as a chief threat for European qualification. They'll think that they can still leapfrog them in the table at some point soon. They won 3-1 in the reverse fixture at the City Ground earlier in the season. And I think they can double up with the Tricky Trees, who have obviously lost their last away two away trips now at Bournemouth and Fulham. They're also beaten 3-0 on trips to Arsenal and City earlier in the season. So I expect Newcastle with the St. James's Park roar to get the job done here.
And if they do win Newcastle, Jack, then that would really open up the top four battle even more than it already is.
Absolutely, but I think it's an open battle because Forest and Newcastle are the type of teams you can't really trust, and I can't split them. I'm going over 3.5 goals at 13-8. You mentioned that Newcastle win at the City Ground in a pretty convincing fashion during the campaign, but Forest won 3-1 at St. James's last season. I think something similar might land. Newcastle looked so energetic in those wins over Arsenal to get through to the EFL Cup final, but I thought they were stretched against City. Eddie Howe rotating, and I do wonder if he and some of his players, maybe subconsciously at least, are starting to look towards their game at Wembley, especially when you think of the heartache of losing to Manchester United a couple of seasons ago. Forest, yeah, they have been a bit inconsistent on the road, losing their last two away from home, but always seem to score. And I think over 3.5 goals is a really good price, a nice way to go. It's landed in Newcastle's last two and Forest's last four. And Aaron mentioned the atmosphere at St. James's. That's conducive to entertaining football. It's going to be an open game, I think, and plenty of goals to be shared around.
Yeah, hopefully so. That rounds off our Premier League preview then. And next up, we're going to focus on the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So this week's big game from the EFL, like the Premier League before, it is a pretty easy choice for our match in focus. It's the top two in the Championship. You'll have to wait till Monday night, though, at 8 o'clock for it to take place. It's at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United in second place against league leaders Leeds. Sheffield United 29-10 to win the game. The draw 27-10. Leeds 17-20 favourites. Aaron, it is a huge match for these two Yorkshire rivals. Second Monday night game in a row for Leeds, and it was really dramatic last week, wasn't it? That last-ditch victory over Sunderland. Pascal Struijk, the unlikely hero, with a brace. And that gives Leeds momentum heading into this game. But in terms of results, at least, Sheffield United also have a bit of momentum.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels quite strange that there are only 2 points between these sides at the top of the Championship, as I actually feel the gulf between the pair is much greater than that. And I think it goes to show what an excellent job Chris Wilder's done on his Bramall Lane return. Leeds, I think, have a much deeper squad, far more match winners over the field. And I think they can start to stamp their authority on the title race now with victory at Bramall Lane. They're available at 10-11, and I think that represents still a fair price. They're unbeaten in 15. And I know Sheffield United are on a four-game winning run, but they've been pretty fortuitous in three of those wins. They were one-goal victories over Derby, Portsmouth and Luton. And the shot stats suggested they were far closer contest than maybe the result, how it ended. Sheffield United, they were soundly beaten 2-0 at Elland Road in October. And that was a game they failed to register a shot on target in. And you'd have to say Leeds have really upped their level since then. They've won 14 of the last 19 league games, and they've conceded only once in the last seven matches. So I think Leeds going from strength to strength can get the job done here. Burnley, they were 2-0 winners at Bramall Lane on Boxing Day. And Sheffield United, they've also been beaten away at Sunderland, which suggested they have struggled against some of their title rivals this season. And I think the Blades are just bumping into a side that may be a little bit too strong for them.
So I suppose in terms of the Championship promotion race as a whole, you're fancying Leeds for victory in this game. You see Leeds as the standout team that will go on to win the division. And if you do, what about Sheffield United? Are they good enough to hang on to second place and into the weekend, 5 clear of Burnley, 8 ahead of Sunderland? Do you see one of those two teams perhaps leapfrogging the Blades?
There's potential for Burnley, definitely. I mean, obviously, the problem with Burnley is they haven't been scoring enough goals. It's as simple as that. I mean, defensively, they're the most resolute in England as it stands. The amount of clean sheets they keep, but they're just too many 0-0 draws for them. So I think Sheffield United, they may have enough to get on over the line into second, even with defeat here, just because they're pretty good at collecting points against the lesser lights. And I think that is going to be enough to see them through.
It could potentially then this fixture be a Premier League clash next term. That's our match in focus in the EFL. Aaron, you've also got an EFL treble to talk us through. You picked out one game apiece from the Championship, League One and League Two. Do you want to start with your Championship selection?
Yeah, my first selection is Portsmouth draw no bet, 8-11 at home to QPR. Back-to-back wins over Cardiff and Oxford have seen Portsmouth move 7 points clear of the Championship relegation zone. And I think they can ease any drop fears even further with victory over QPR. Fratton Park has become a bit of a fortress for Pompey since the start of November. They've won 7 of the last 10 home league games and they've scored 3 or more in 5 of those victories. They've lost only once in that period, which was a 1-0 defeat to Millwall. They've kept 4 clean sheets and QPR have won only 4 of their 16 away league games this season. And all of those victories came against bottom 5 clubs. So I expect Portsmouth with home advantage to get the job done.
Yeah, it's been a real fortress, hasn't it, Fratton Park, this season for Pompey. Your League One selection, I'm guessing you're not fancying much of a new or returning manager bounce for Cambridge United.
Yeah, as you say, Neil Harris has been appointed as Cambridge manager in a last gasp attempt to secure survival. But I think it's a little bit too late for them. I mean, after a brief blip in December and early January, Stockport have really got their League One promotion aspirations back on track. They've took 19 points from the last 21 available. And I expect them to have too much class for the basement boys of League One. The Hatters, they've won on 3 of the last 4 away trips at Reading, Leighton Orient and Wigan. And in Cambridge, they face a side that are now 8 points adrift of safety following a run of just 2 wins in 19 league games. Cambridge were beaten 1-0 at home to Exeter last week. And that looks a missed opportunity as the Grecians headed there without a win in 8 and had lost 6 of those matches. Stockport, they're only 6 points off Wickham in second. They'll think they can still get automatic promotion. And I expect them to have too much quality and too much confidence for Cambridge.
Yeah, Stockport pushing for back-to-back promotion. So you fancy them to win away at Cambridge. You've gone for an away selection as well in League Two.
That's it, yeah. Finally in League Two, Doncaster, they sit third. I think they can maintain their automatic promotion hopes with victory at an ailing Accrington, who are winless in 5, and they're only 4 points above the drop now. Accrington are looking toothless. They've scored only 2 goals in the last 7 matches. They've fired 3 straight blanks, and they've had only 4 shots on target across those matches, and that includes a 2-0 defeat to their relegation rivals Morecambe. There have been a few bumps in the road for Donny recently, but they have won 5 of the last 7 league matches. And 1 goal may be enough to land the Spurs at Accrington, who, as I said, they're struggling to create chances. They're struggling to score goals, and they've won only 1 of the last 8.
Yeah, so there's Aaron's EFL selections. Just to run you through them again, Portsmouth draw no bet at home to QPR in the Championship in League 1, Stockport to win away at struggling Cambridge, and likewise in League 2, Doncaster to claim an away victory at Accrington. So that's the EFL selections for this week. And Jack, will come to you now for your bet builder from the Premier League. And you're looking at, again, we've already spoken about, and one that could be pretty entertaining at the Vitality Stadium.
Yeah, we're going to head down to the Vitality for this game. I've already mentioned I fancy Bournemouth to win. They beat Wolves in a fun match back in November and are going so, so well. I read earlier this week the club are, quote, working overtime to get Andoni Iraola tied down to a new contract. And I think they need to. He's key to their progress so far and any sort of progress they have going into the future. I think Vitor Pereira as well has done a decent job at Wolves, and the table doesn't really reflect how good they've been. They were so, so good again at Liverpool, didn't quite get the result. It might be a similar story on Saturday. It sounds weird to say, but in current form, the Cherries play with more courage than the Reds, don't they? And I expect them to keep coming and grind the visitors down in an entertaining fixture. I've also mentioned Semenyo earlier in the pod. Only 2 players have carried the ball more metres than him in this season's Premier League. He likes a dribble and a shot, and I fancy him to score in the anytime market. He scored 4 goals in his last 7 outings and is arguably the most improved player in this season's top flight. To finish off, I'm going to go with Nelson Semedo to be booked. His discipline has improved under Pereira, but it can still be problematic. And Bournemouth, they attack from all over. They're a team full of pace. He might be caught out. He's been booked twice in the last 2 games against Bournemouth, including after just 2 minutes of the reverse fixture. The tackles could be flying around. He looks good to receive his eighth league yellow of the campaign. So a Bournemouth win, Semedo to score any time, and Semedo to be booked. That comes in at around 12 to 1.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, given Bournemouth's impressive form. You mentioned Semedo, and it could be a bit of a direct battle between him and Nelson Semedo across the piece. But yeah, that's your bet builder for the weekend's action. You've also got a couple of prop shop bets for us as well.
Yeah, a couple of forwards to look out for. I mentioned Mateta again. He's looking to become the first Palace player to score in four away games on the spin in the Premier League. He's netted five in his last three, including braces in the last two. He's back in the mood after a fantastic end to last season. And when he's feeling so confident, he's almost unplayable. 11-4 to score at Fulham. It's such a great price, especially against a team without a home clean sheet since Christmas. I also really like Danny Welbeck to score or assist at Southampton. That's 21-20. He had two assists against Chelsea last Friday. He's never been super prolific, has he? But he's keeping João Pedro out of the side at the moment. And I think his link play is a big part of recent improvements that Brighton have made. Southampton will concede in the league high 33 goals at home. And Welbeck's good enough to add to his six goals and four assists down at St. Mary's.
It could be a good weekend then for a couple of centre forwards. We'll also look now at the assist treble, where there's a selection each from Aaron, Jack and myself. Aaron, we'll start with you, and you're sticking in the EFL.
That's correct, Jack. In League One, I'm going for Charlton at home to Exeter. They're available 8-13. Charlton, they're on the cusp of the League One playoff places, and I expect them to bounce back from last weekend's 1-0 defeat at runaway leaders Birmingham. The Addicts, they've won six of the last seven league games at the Valley. And in Exeter, they meet a side that are in complete freefall. The Grecians did snap an eight-game winless run, as I said, at rock bottom Cambridge last weekend. But they'd lost six of their previous seven going into that encounter. And that includes a 6-2 hiding at home to Leyton Orient, as well as a 4-1 beating at Stevenage. And I think Charlton can boost their playoff aspirations with a home win.
And Jacka, what are you looking at for your treble selection?
Hopefully, I'm going to get a lot of love from the Palace fans after this, because I'm going for them again. I think they're so perfectly set up to thrive on the road. They have got that wonderful record. They are a better team away from home than they are at Selhurst Park. It must be frustrating for the fans, but Oliver Glasner with that 3-4-2-1 formation makes his team difficult to beat. Fulham's defensive record doesn't impress me. I have been impressed by Marco Silva's side at times, but I think against a team that presses high and with plenty of pace, they could struggle. Yeah, Fulham, they look vulnerable to me. Palace may have just been drawn in by the price, but I really fancy them at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, I promise for those listening in, Jack hasn't got a Crystal Palace shirt underneath the shirt he's wearing. But yeah, it does look like a decent price for Crystal Palace with that away form. My selection also comes from the Premier League, and it's also a potential away victory. I've gone for Brentford. What odds against to win at Leicester? Leicester, really terrible, as the guys have spoken about earlier, on home soil at the moment, struggling for goals, struggling for any kind of rhythm under Ruud van Nistelrooy. And Brentford improving, won the last three Premier League games away from home. They've got attacking firepower, more attacking firepower than Leicester. And yeah, the prices, I think that one could be the way to go, albeit I am slightly reluctant because it's the Friday night game and I don't want to ruin everyone's treble before it's even started. But it's hard to see beyond a Brentford win. So to recap our selections, Aaron's gone for Charlton to beat Exeter on home soil. Jack's gone for Crystal Palace to win at Fulham. And I've gone for Brentford to beat Leicester at the King Power. Finally, we'll look at the naps from Aaron and Jack as well. Jack, we'll start with you, and yeah, that Palace shirt. Does it have Mateta on the back of it?
Yeah, it might surprise you. I'm going for another Eagles bet for my nap, and it's got to be Mateta. I saw him so recently at West Ham. He was unplayable. Dinos Mavropanos was sent off for two fouls against him. He scored five goals in his last three Premier League away games, netting braces against West Ham and Manchester United. He's just in the mood. He is unplayable. He was brilliant towards the end of last season. Like everyone at the Eagles, it took him a while to get going this time around. But I just love watching someone who struggled at times, as he did in his opening couple of campaigns in England, playing with so much confidence. It's refreshing to see. He's a great price to score at Fulham, and he's my nap for the week.
Yeah, he's certainly a much improved player in the Premier League. Aaron, what have you gone for your nap?
I'm going to stick in League One for my nap. I'm going to go for Stockport away at Cambridge. As I said, Stockport, they've rediscovered their spark in League One, winning six and drawing one of their last seven league matches. And I expect them to be expect there to be a big golfing class between them and the side that sit rock bottom and 8 points adrift of safety. The U's have won only one of their last 13 matches. And while Neil Harris's appointment should shore them up defensively, I think a low-scoring contest would actually suit Stockport, who have kept four clean sheets in the last six league matches.
Yeah, it could be very difficult for Cambridge United in that game. So to recap, Jack has gone for Mateta, Jean-Philippe Mateta, to score against Fulham for Crystal Palace, and Aaron has gone for Stockport to win away at Cambridge. And that's it then for this week's edition of The Assist. My thanks to Aaron and Jack. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment. And if you like golf, don't miss The Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. We will be back for another edition of The Assist next week. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend. And please remember to gamble responsibly.